Thank you for tuning in to the Tricia Goyer Show. I'm sharing my heart and answering questions about faith, writing, homeschool, big family living, and so much more. I'll also be digging deep into meaningful conversations with other authors, speakers, moms, and God lovers. I'm your host, Tricia Goyer, wife to John, mom of 10, author of over 80 books, speaker, homeschooler, avid reader, and mega nap taker. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, friends. Tricia Goyer here, and I'm so excited about the book we're going to be talking about today. Like many of you know, that John and I have adopted 7 kids, so we have 10 total. And every time I find a resource that really resonates with me, I love sharing it. And that's what today's resource, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But first of all, I want to welcome my friend, new friend, Dr. Laurel Shaler, and welcome. And I would just love you to tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And yeah, it's amazing that you have 10 children and 7 of those kiddos are That's so incredible. And it's such an inspiration. My husband and I have 3 children, 2 by traditional adoption and 1 3-month-old baby by embryo adoption.
Wow. So
exciting to go through that process. But yeah, I'm a licensed mental health professional. I'm licensed as a social worker, professional counselor, and marriage and family therapist. And my background was working for the Department of Veterans Affairs, most of my clinical background, and then also had my own private practice where I worked with women. Loved that. But for the last 12, 13 years, I worked full-time for Liberty University as a professor in the Department of Counselor Education and Family Studies. So that's my full-time gig. And otherwise, I spend a lot of time, you know, with my family here in South Carolina. It's beautiful, sunny, and 70 degrees here today. And we're involved in our community and our church and with our extended family. So yeah, that's a little bit about.
I love it. So many wonderful things to talk about and hear about. And I can't wait to dig in. But the book, the resource we're talking about is Loving Adopted Children Well. And it's a 5 love languages approach. And, you know, Dr. Gary Chapman, we know his love language books. And I think I just love that we were able to have this now for an adoptive parent. And I've read his other books about, you know, about parenting, the 5 love language for parent or kid children. But I'm like, there's some other issues here. And Laurel, which I think you brought up. So let's talk about the difference and why this would be encouraging for adoptive parents.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that you brought up the book for children that he carried with Ross Campbell. That was an excellent book. And I enjoyed reading that and learned a lot. And as I was reading that book, I thought, maybe it would be helpful if there were some examples specific to adoptive families. And that was how I very first initially thought that maybe this book should come about. And so I met his editor at a conference and we got to talking and I basically pitched this idea, like, what would you think about this? And he liked it. And so he went to Dr. Chapman and asked him and he liked it. And then I got to meet with Dr. Chapman and, you know, just after a lot of discussion and prayer, I just felt like it was a good fit and that it would be a beneficial book for a lot of families. So then we started working on that project.
Yeah, I love it. So one of the things that I love as a mom who's adopted kids, I think one of the things that surprised me the most when I first adopted, I'm like, I've been a mom for 23 years. My oldest was 23 when we started adopting from foster care. I remember going to the classes. I'm like, I got this. Like, I've been a parent. Like, we've gone through all the ages. We're totally good. So many of the things isn't just about we know discipline things. We know how to interact because often the way they relate to those things is completely different than biological children because most of our kids came from trauma. And so one of the things you talk about, like, it's not just learning to, you know, when there's a problem, when there is a maybe anger or some type of outward action, negative action, we think of the discipline. Instead, what I learned through lots of years of going to wonderful therapists, getting lots of help, knowing like, what do I do with these kids is it needs to be connecting with their hearts and really, instead of just saying, okay, we're going to work on the timeout strategies, we're going to work whatever. It's like, no, we're going to spend time loving these kids. We're going to pour into them, which is exactly what you talk about and leading up into the love languages. Because so many times there isn't that bond. And if they've came from trauma or even any adoption means that there has been loss in their lives. So we need to know how to show love, maybe show love in different ways. So I would just love you to talk a little bit more about that, how it is different, even though parents have been parents for many years, or they think like, this is the way we always do things. This is how we handle these situations. There might be a different approach, but also the love languages are a perfect fit for this.
Yeah. And you've just made so many excellent points. And this is not to say that that parenting biological children is always easy. I mean,
obviously, right, exactly.
Challenges. And so this book was never meant to be like, oh, you know, if you've got biological kids, that's easy. So, you know, this is hard, but it is a different kind of hard raising children who have been adopted. And, you know, yes, every child that's been adopted, they have had loss. So I always say adoption is a place where joy and sorrow meet. So there has definitely been loss, and we also have to consider the fact of what they may have experienced in utero. So prior to birth. So we have a child that had a very difficult time in the womb because of some decisions that his bio mom made. And so that's going to impact him, even though he can't remember it, like the famous book says, the score, right? So it's still going to impact him. So other people might look at the way we parent and go, well, he's acting like that. And you're just being so gentle with him, or you're being, you know, like, why aren't you being firmer? Why aren't you being stricter? Why aren't you forcing him to do X or Y or Z? It's like, because that doesn't work for him. Now, I'm very imperfect and I'm a work in progress and I mess up every day as a mom. So certainly there are times that I'm like, you're going to do this, you know, or whatever. But, you know, my goal is to try work with him and not against him. And so we do that through striving to show love and using these different approaches. So I think of a couple of examples, especially when we're talking about kids that have specific memories of trauma, like physical touch. Like, you know, we can't necessarily go in and approach every child that comes to our home with the same type of affection that we might a bio kid. Even one of my children who, you know, all of our children were babies. So we had one that came from my womb. So I'm birth mom, but not bio mom. One we met at 3 days old and one we met at 2 months old. So they all very young. And yet, one could never be comforted when that child got emotional, got upset, got feelings hurt, couldn't be comforted through physical touch. So, you know, for whatever reason, it could be because of a literal, you know, issue related to, you know, pre-birth trauma and, you know, maybe some nervousness, central nervous system issues. I can't tell you exactly why,
right.
But what we know is that this child just cannot be comforted with physical touch. Another child craves that again, some of it's sensory, just wants the sensory input, and some of it's wanting the love. But we have to be sensitive to what does this individual child need, considering their background and also the unknown parts of their background, right? Like, we're not going to know everything, but taking what we do know and trying to apply that. So it may be that you have to be more cautious when you approach a child with physical touch. Like, maybe they don't want lots of hugs, but maybe you can give them a fist bump and they'll accept that. Or maybe a high five. Or, you know, I always think of when you swing a child on the playground and you're like touching their back as you're swinging them. Maybe that's the type of physical touch you can start off with. But certainly if they've had traumatic touch, you know, they may be very opposed to touch. And understanding that and not forcing that and saying, well, we always give hugs at bedtime, so we are going to give hugs. Instead, like, okay, how can you communicate that this is a safe place, that you can trust me, and that we can have a secure relationship without forcing something on that child?
I love that so much. Your physical touch. Let's continue on this vein since we're talking about that. And real quick, before we continue with physical touch, talk about what the five love languages are.
Sure.
There might be someone out there that's like, what are you talking about? So yeah, talk about that real quick.
Well, the five love languages, they've been around for over 30 years, and the original book has sold over 20 million copies.
Yeah. So,
and it's funny how, you know, everybody uses it. I mean, I saw a sign at Chick-fil-A, like, chicken is our love language, you know, so everybody uses this and this is where it comes from. But the five are physical touch, quality time, gifts, words of affirmation and acts of service. Mm-hmm. And so often we give love in the way that we really want to receive it. So mm-hmm. the challenge is to be able to determine how, in this case, your child best receives love. And when they're young, you're going to show them love in all ways. Actually, you're going to show them love in all ways, regardless of their age.
Right. When
younger, you're going to do more of that. And then as they start to get older, you'll start to learn more about their preferences. You know, what really, when do they light up? Like, I can go over the love languages with my 7-year-old because she's old enough and capable of understanding them. And I remember I was going over it once with her and she just shouted words, like words, that's my love language. So she just loves those words of affirmation and she just beams when you give her a praise. Right. And so with my 4-year-old, I'm still learning. And just recently I've been reassessing and I've been thinking, I think he needs more quality time, individual quality time. He's got 2 siblings, one's a brand new. And even though he loves her, and earlier today he just said, I'll get the boppy and I want to hold her. And so he holds her for a minute and he says, okay, that's enough holding. And he gives her back. But he loves her, but he needs some time alone. With mom, a time alone with dad. And so quality time has started to become his thing. But I think recognizing, you know, when are they getting the most excited? When do they seem the most calm? When do they seem the most at peace? And even though this is not a book about discipline, and we say that up front, when you are showing a child love and they feel like they belong, they are more likely to do the things that they should be doing within the household.
Oh. Yeah, I have so many wonderful examples. Like, which one do I share? So we'll go back to physical touch because this is something that was such a big like wake up call to me. Because we have kids that we adopted. They were a sibling group before. They were 11, almost 13, and 15 when we finalized the adoption. And some of them would just be like, they wanted to sit on me. They just wanted to be by me all the time. Some were like, not really interested in the physical touch. But once I got some lavender essential oils and they were all struggling with sleep. So I'm like, let me just rub some on your feet at night, help you to relax. Well, then that became a nightly thing. And I realized like the kids that were like, don't need a hug. Were like, wait, are you gonna rub my feet tonight? Are you gonna rub my feet tonight? So that became a way of giving them that physical touch in a way that connected us, brought some bonding, but it wasn't the uncomfortable hugs or whatever that they needed.
I love that example. And hopefully you'll give me permission to share that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That is just such a wonderful example. It's like, it's not in their face. It's not too invasive, but it is a way to physically connect with them. I love that.
Yeah. And then another one, as I'm listening to, I listened to the audiobook, the whole audiobook. I started last night, listened to the whole thing today. I was cooking, I was cleaning, I listened to the whole thing, but I realized, okay, my child, like one of my youngest, he's 13. I'm like, his is definitely words, like words. And so today, usually I'm like, hey, did you do your chore? You know, I go through all the things. He's homeschooled. I asked him, did you do your chore? And then, oh no. And instead of like, you know, you're supposed to do your chore. He got up a couple minutes later. It took him a couple minutes to get up and do it. But then I thanked him like, great job, buddy, doing your chore. Like, I am so proud of you doing your chore. And then later he did something else. I'm like, that was really good. Thankful. And I'm like, I need to remember, like, we just expect them to do the things we know to do. And then we gripe at them when they don't do the things. Yeah. And literally it took me 2 minutes of like, just pausing and waiting for him to actually get started doing his chore. Then I started praising him, you know, for it. And just his attitude, I could just see like he just perked up a bit. So I think it's easy with going now moving from physical touch to words. It's easy for us to tell our kids the things they're doing wrong, the things that that we want to correct. But talk about the importance of our words being positive and even ways where, you know, we might want to give correction and then find other ways to give encouragement during those times.
Yeah. And again, I think that's a great example that you shared. But praise is so important. And sometimes people might think it's over the top, like, oh, you're giving that child a lot of praise for doing something so simple.
I know, yeah.
Because I want to encourage them to keep doing those things mm-hmm. and to go maybe even further next time so that then there's not even a delay, that when I ask them to do something, then they'll just respond and do it. But also giving the child time, especially, you know, a child that may have a challenge such as ADHD, mm-hmm. like they just need a little extra time to process. They need time to shift gears. There's a book called 1-2-3 Magic. And, you know, of course, for long periods of time, parents have been counting to three, you know, I'm going to give you 3 seconds, but there actually is some value in that because it gives the child time mm-hmm. to think, just to think. It's like, we can't always just change on a dime. You know, so I think that it is really important that we use positivity and positive reinforcement. One of the things that I find myself doing that I've been trying to correct is sometimes I'll like remind my daughter that she's 7 years old as if she doesn't know. And one time we had a conversation just a week or two ago and I said, you know, I said, I'm really surprised that you don't say to me, I know how old I am. And she mm-hmm. said, well, mama, I'm trying to be respectful.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So I'm like, I know that of course I believe in guilty. You're like, okay, I don't need to use kind of that shaming. Like you're mm-hmm. 7 years old. I know you can do this. And she's like, you know, there's a different way. Like I can still pump her up. Like you're a big girl. I know that you are capable of doing this. You know, if we need help, if you need help out, let's do it together this first time, but then I need you to do it for yourself, whatever it may be. But sometimes that kind of goes over in a little bit into acts of service, because mm-hmm. I have found that there are things that my children are capable of doing, but that it means a lot to them if I do it for them. And it's not just them always getting out of stuff. I mean, sometimes they want to get out of cleaning up. I'm not talking about that, but like there are other times and like, it just means something to them to have me help them change their clothes or to have me tie their shoes. Mm-hmm. Or if there is a big mess and it feels overwhelming, like just to do it with them. And again, there are limits. I mean, we're all imperfect. There's times that I'm like, you clean up all that Play-Doh, we're not gonna have Play-Doh anymore. You know, like,
that
happens too. But, you know, trying to do things for them that maybe they can do for themselves because it just means a lot to them. I have found that like my 4-year-old has wanted to be held and carried more. Well, that makes sense. He's got mm-hmm. a new sister in the house. He's like, okay, right. I'm not the baby anymore, but I still want some of that attention. And again, when you come from a background where maybe you're questioning your place, maybe you're questioning whether or not you belong or why, you know, well, why am I in this position? You know, is there something wrong with me? You know, of course, a lot of adopted kiddos have those thoughts of mm-hmm. and questions like, why? Did my mom not love me enough to take care of me? You know, so when they're struggling with that, and especially those that have those memories of having been abused or neglected, there's a lot of baggage, so to speak, that comes with that. So when we can do things for them to show, hey, I care about you enough to help you do this, even though I know you can do it yourself, I think it can be really valuable.
Yeah, that's so good. My kids are going to be very thankful that I was listening to this book, because as I was cooking all these meals, I cooked like 3 meals today for the week because I'm like, I want to finish listening to this book. So it's because I'm enjoying it. But I ended up doing a load of dishes for my daughter. It was her day for kitchen. Usually, this is bad, but usually I'm like, okay, I cooked all the food. You guys have all the chores. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to serve her and I'm going to do a load of dishes. So I did it. And then I texted her and she's at the preteen age where there's just a lot of hormones going on, a lot of moodiness. And so I can take that personally, like, oh, this child, or I can say, you know what, let me just help her out here. Let me just do this chores. And so it is encouraging those little things that even though they can do them, even though they get, my kids get monthly allowance for chores, when we do those extra things, I think it is just so, it just like fills their love tank, warms their heart, all the things. And it really can help them know how much we love them, especially for kids where if that is their main love language, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it really does. Yep. And I love the examples that you're sharing. It just makes it all the more richer, you know, just hearing the stories and how other families can apply these love languages to their kids. It's super helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about quality time. Cause we, you know, there's a lot going on, working moms or even moms that don't have a full-time outside job, we're all working moms. Like there's always many things to do. And sometimes I think, okay, we're all going to the park. Like we're all doing these things. So we're all spending lots of time together. Talk about how important it is for kids, especially, well, all kids need quality time, especially kids for if that's their main love language.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Like every mom is a working mom. She may not always get paid, but she's a working mom, or maybe gets paid in a different way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and quality time, it can be tough when you have numerous children and you have a lot of other things going on in your life. Like, how can I carve out time? But even if it's just 10 minutes where it's with that one child and where you're doing what that one child wants to do, there's a program called Positive Parenting Solutions, and they call it mind, body, soul time, MBST time. And we've recoined it. So with my daughter, we have bestie time. And with my son, I have buddy time. And I just do what they want to do. And like my son is kind of a creature of habit at this point. So he wants to do I spy and rock, paper, scissor, like every night. And so that's what we do. But that's his time. And he really values that. And then when I can squeeze in other things, I do. Like yesterday, he had had a tough time for a while. And later in the day, I thought, you know, I think he needs some more time with me, like just me and him. And listen, it would have been easier to just be like to my husband, like, hey, can you just hang out with him for a while? Because I've kind of had it with some of the behavior today. But instead, I said, let's go on a nature walk. And he was like, yeah, let's go on a nature walk. So we did. And we had a really nice walk. So I think just recognizing, too, that sometimes when a child is misbehaving, quote unquote, like it's because they need more time with you and not less. And I know that's tough because sometimes we're just like, we need a break. And I am fully supportive of the breaks. So don't hear me say that you shouldn't take a break. But sometimes it's because they need more individual time where it's just the two of you and where you kind of get to that child ego state and you're like, let's play. What do you want to play? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with my daughter, like we've been doing this for, we've had bestie time for like 4 years, and she will, you know, we'll pretend that her bed, she has a carriage bed, and we'll pretend that it can really move and we'll go places, or she'll ask me to tell her a story about a mermaid or, you know, whatever she wants to do that day. That's what we do. And I try to do it every night before bedtime. Sometimes things get a little hectic, you know, especially around bedtime and having a baby as well. But if I can't do it, then we try to do it sometime during the day where it's just the two of us. And one of the things they teach in Positive Parenting Solutions that I like is like, we're probably doing some of this already and we can just recoin it. Like if you're taking one child to a doctor's appointment, like even the ride there, you can like, let them choose a song, let them choose a game, talk about what they want to talk about, like tell them a story. Like there are ways to turn those types of times into something meaningful for you and the kiddo.
Oh, so good. I love all these. And these are the things that like we need to hear. Like we need to hear that, like, okay, you're already doing something. Just make it bestie time. Like make it fun. Because you're going to the appointments anywhere, doing all the things, especially adopted kids. We've done speech therapy, occupational therapy, trauma therapy. I mean, all the therapy. So absolutely. Okay, I'm gonna pay attention to this. Now we're an orthodontist. I mean, we have all the different things. But and I love all the things are things that you know, just taking these little things and knowing, okay, from this conversation, this is the one thing I'm gonna incorporate. Like we can get overwhelmed too. Like, oh, there's 20 great ideas from this book. What's the one thing I'm going to work on? I remember one mom told me, and this was concerning homeschooling. She's like, get the quality time in first, like the fun. And then when their love tank's full, then it'll just make the rest of the day go well. And so I love that quality time. Also, you talked about like sometimes it takes a while for them to hear you and process it. And adoptive mom told me before, when you give them an instruction, pause and wait and count to six in your head, because it takes that long for kids to actually think and process before they can act on the idea. Because it'll be like, pick up your shoes. And they just sit there. I'm like, pick up your shoes. And that wasn't enough time for them to actually think. And then they're like, why are you yelling at me? Which I wasn't yelling, but it's that they just hear me over and over saying the same thing. And that was another thing. So there are so many good tips in the book. But I want to also go talk about that time where you talk about, you know, just that 10 minutes a day. And when I was taking our 2.5-year-old to trauma therapy, and you're like, what are we going to do with this? Like, I don't even know. He's not going to lay on a couch and do all the things. And she said, what we really need to focus on is the bond between him and you. Like, that is going to heal so much of the stuff from the past. And so I would put a little ear thing in my ear, and she would be in a room with like a, she could look in, but I couldn't see her. And she's like, you're just going to play. And we're like, oh, I'm like, okay, what's this about? But she's like, you get to do whatever he wants, like whatever toys he wants to play with. And you're just going to do it. And when you go home, you're going to do this every day, 5 to 10 minutes. In a room, special box of toys, whatever he wants to do. But she had something else that she added, which adds in the words of encouragement, which I'd like to talk about. She'd have me say what he was doing, repeat what he says, and praise him. And over, I'm like, you're lining up the cars. And he go, blue car. You have a blue car. I say blue car. And then I say, great job lining up the cars. And just over and over, and every day, we would do that for 5 to 10 minutes. And that bond did grow. Like, he got used to hearing my voice, and that connection, he saw that I saw him, I heard him, I praised him. Years later, when one of our teens we adopted, she was probably 14. The therapist's like, you just need to do the 10 minutes a day. And she would literally come up to me. She goes, I need my 10 minutes. And she was the one that I was having the most trouble with. I'm like, what do you want to do? And it didn't even matter what we did. She's like, let's open all your mail. I get mail from my PO box, my work mail. And she sit there and help me. Like, and she's like, okay, my 10 minutes is up. And I just thought, for me, it seemed like so fake, because it was like, she was saying, this is the time, I'm demanding it. But for her, she loved it. Like, she had 10 minutes of my time to do whatever she wanted. Undivided attention. And it made a huge difference.
Yeah. And you know, what you're describing, the play therapy, that really is so important. And you know, we all need to be focusing on that as adoptive parents, is just spending that time with our kids and doing the things that you've used the term love tank. Yes. Like, fill up their bucket, like whatever expression you want to use, like, but just show them that love. And yeah, there are going to be times when we're not patient. There are going to be times when we're, you know, when we might raise our voice, or when we might, you know, like say something that might be considered shaming, like, you're 7 years old, you should be able to do this. But if we're showing them enough love, then that's going to, you know, compensate for some of those times when we're not being as patient and loving as we want to be, and as we're striving to be, because we're all human, and we're going to mess up sometimes.
Yeah. So good. Okay. One last thing. I'm like, we could talk all day on all the things, but one last thing I think is super important for not only adoptive parents, but also other people, family members, friends, understand, is you talked about sometimes holidays or special days are the hardest days. And I would be like, what in the world? Like, we are doing all the things to make this the most glorious, best day ever. Or we took our kids to Disney World, our older ones, well, we took all of them, but to celebrate the adoption of the sibling group of older kids. And it was awful. Like, they were acting out. It was so hard. And let's talk about this, because sometimes we think we're doing the things. We think we're doing the five love language. We're giving, we're making these days wonderful. Or so we think what we want. So let's talk about when things don't go well, because sometimes we are doing the love languages and they don't respond how we are, or we are setting up the big celebration. So just as an encouragement, as we're wrapping up, because sometimes, again, parents, grandparents, outsiders, friends might not understand this. And I think this is so important for us, just to know how to handle this.
Yeah. And I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, I remember thinking this past year that the day after Christmas was so much better than Christmas Day itself. because I think there's like a lot of that pressure is off as well. And of course, there could be so many different dynamics as to why the kids would have been, you know, acting out on their big trip, because it's like, but the reason for the big trip is the adoption, which, again, that's good, but it's also hard and it's also sad. And it's also that reminder of like, this is permanent now, like that loss. So there's a lot going on there. So definitely want to encourage, you know, parents. And I use this book as accountability for myself and as reminders for myself. Like, not always going to go well. There's going to be there's going to be tough times, tough days, and maybe longer than days, weeks, months, years. Mm-hmm. But that if we've been called to do this by the Lord, like he's going to give us the resources, the strength, that we need. And I loved that you mentioned occupational therapy and counseling and all these different resources, because I'm such a big advocate of those. Mm-hmm. And early intervention, like get the help soon, now, because it's going to make a big difference for these kids and for the families as a whole.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, like I mentioned, I had been a mom for 23 years. It was like a new world opened up. I remember sitting in occupational therapy office or, you know, trauma therapy counseling office. I'm just like, I didn't even know all this existed, like this whole new world. There's wonderful resources. There are wonderful people, and pray for God to bring the people around that will be that support system. Cause sometimes you think these are going to be my people that are going to be my support system, but often they don't even understand. So pray that God will bring you the people that can be the support system and they can understand this, which means I wanted to also say this would be a great book if your church has a ministry for families. This would be good to give these as gifts to the adoptive parents or foster parents. That would be great. A lot of the same things apply, but also read it as a church, like read it as a small group and know, okay, this will help everyone understand how to better love and support adoptive families in general. Sometimes it does get hard and lonely when you feel like people don't understand, or you hear people making comments like, oh, I wouldn't let the kid act that way. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, he's been in my home for 2 weeks. So, you know,
right. Yeah.
All the things. So I highly encourage people to check out the book. Again, the title is Loving Adopted Children Well, A 5 Love Languages Approach. So Laurel, just as we end today, what last encouragement would you give when we consider the 5 love languages and adoption?
Yeah, well, I always want to remind everybody to just pray. If you're considering adoption, mm-hmm. pray and make sure that this is the calling that the Lord has placed on your heart and on your life, because it definitely is not easy, but it is really rewarding. And give yourself a lot of grace as you strive to give your kids grace, that we're all works in progress, and it is a journey. And it's like the saying goes, it's about the journey, not the destination. So it's like we want to help raise, you know, kids that are healthy and whole and fulfilled and productive, but most of all, kids that love the Lord. So we want to keep the main things the main things as we raise the kids.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here. Again, the title is Loving Adopted Children Well, highly recommended. But where can people go to find out more information about you and the book?
Yeah, so you can check me out on drlaurelshaler.com, my website, and you can also order the book from Amazon or wherever you buy your books.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tricia Goyer Show. I hope you received help and inspiration. That's what I'm here for. Now, remember, if you would like to submit a question, email it to hello@trishagoyer.com, and I can't wait until we connect again.